Yes. That's right. Well, I'm going to get started here. Luke 19, and we'll be there doing a series. And I want to introduce a little bit of that series with y'all. And it's a privilege to be here. I want to be a help. And God has called me to be a help to preachers, to ministers, to people, lay people, churches. Fire. That's how I operate. I just have a lot of iron.
Amen. And I think that idle hands can be very easily used as a work of the devil.
If we're not careful, we'll find ourselves strained from where God would have us to be in the first place. It's always good to have an anchor. And the Bible teaches us about many anchors. And maybe one day we'll look at that opportunity would give for me to come back.
If you don't mind, if you can
stand for the reading of the Word of God that tonight.
Honoring the text we have before us, just the text here.
If we were to stand for the whole reading of the Bible, I know back in Hezekiah's days and Ezra, they did that, and we'll explain that here in a minute. Luke 19, chapter 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today, your love for us, again, your goodness to us. You have provided in so many ways that, Lord, it's just really a lot to count. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to be in your house. Lord, I thank you for every heart that's come into your building tonight to hear your word, to worship you, to sing praises unto your name. So, Father, we just pray for your help now. Let the word become clear. Let my voice be heard in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God has been so good to us. Looks like I'm going to switch, but I don't know. All righty. All right, here we go. All right. Not that anybody here would have an issue hearing me, because I do get a little loud, but for electronic purposes, we desire to be heard on a different decibel.
Amen.
All right. Okay. Well, I pastor Centropolis Baptist Church in Centropolis, Kansas. Surely somebody here knows where that is, right? Yep. Surely somebody knows. If you blink twice, you miss it. Yep. One paved road all the way through town, no stoplight, no flashing light at the main intersection. The only flashing light you get, if you see it, I would pass it because it's going to go really slow. It's the manure tractor going from one field to another, okay? Do not get stuck behind him, all right? A lot of farmers in the area. Our church is directly across the street from a rancher with cattle and a hill. We praise the Lord that hill blocks the wind from coming that direction. Especially when the sun sets in the summertime. It gets warm out there. If you've had any dealings with cows in hot weather, you know what I'm talking about. The neighbor 1.5 blocks to the north of us, he's got some pigs, and I have had to remove a pig from the front yard of the church every now and then because they like to put a little hole in the yard. And I've got them across the street where they can do that to the neighbors. I don't care. And all of that. We did have chickens, and we've got some other neighbors that have them. Some other neighbors have had turkeys. And the turkeys would come to the front door of the church and look through the window of our church door. We have an all-glass door. And they would like, okay, who's letting the turkeys in? I said, nobody. We have enough of them in here as it is. All right? And so if you're a preacher, you understand that. If you're a turkey, you get it too, okay? But anyway, we're just a country church. We have a lot of good time, a lot of fun. And we like to preach the gospel. And I believe that every church in every corner ought to preach the gospel. Ought to be a light for Jesus. And as you leave, you take that light with you. You see? You take that light with you. And I believe this. I believe, you ever see a picture from space of Earth?
Yes.
You ever see a picture at night of Earth and you see the little lights? Yeah. They kind of show you the lights of things. I wonder what God sees when he looks down. If we could use that illustration, does he see his people's lights? I mean, I'm just thinking about it. Does he see the church lighthouse?
Yes.
And then he sees the little strands where the people go home. Do they take that light with them, or is it covered up like the old song goes? You know? And I wonder how many, I just wonder what God sees when he sees. NASA shows us a picture of Europe and the United States and South America, and it looks really nice, all lit up and everything at nighttime. But I wonder what God would look at if he looked down and he saw, I thought I had a light over there. Huh. Well, I know they're still there. They haven't come to heaven yet. I wonder what happened to that light. Oh, there it is. It's a little dim. I just wonder, oh, there's some bright lights over there, man. They're doing a good work for Jesus. Y'all with me on that one? I'm just trying to be a help here. I'm just trying to be a help. So when you leave church, take that light with you.
Amen.
Take that light with you, because you go outside, I promise you, you go outside here in Topeka into a very dark world, a dark world where they need hope. And hope, really, because they live in a dark world, hope is going to be a light. And when they see a light, they're going to go, they're going to find some hope there. And a lot of times, physically, light means warmth and comfort, food and shelter. Spiritually, the light means heaven and Jesus, life eternal. Are y'all with me? All right, okay. Luke chapter 19, you did that. The Bible says that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. That was the first verse. Now, when Jesus was traveling, he would go through certain towns, and many times in the study of the Bible, Jesus would go into a house. Depending on the town he was in, and you know, it's like, we just don't show up to a town and say, let's go into that house. Anybody ever do that? You go traveling, you just go traveling somewhere and you just stop. Let's just go visit. I'm going to knock on the door. Hey, you mind if we come in? For this day, use the verse that Jesus used. For this day, I must be in thy house. You can use scripture on them and say, hey, scripture said I can come in your house. No, you're not Jesus, I promise. Be careful about whose house you do that to, all right? But anyway, but I'm doing a study in the Bible called The Houses That Jesus Went Into. Now, it's not some book written by somebody else. I just came across this, and God just showed this to me when I was reading the Bible. And I'm like, huh, I wonder how many houses Jesus actually went into. And I began to look at all these houses, that places that Jesus actually went into, and I think of like Levi, the tax collector, whose name would soon become Matthew. And then I think of the house that he was teaching in, and he was there several days, and these young men brought a man in a cot to him and had to dig a hole through a roof to get him down, and Jesus was in that house. And I think of the temple, where Jesus went into the temple and he had to clean house, you know. And so, but here, we're going to look at this little story. Every house that Jesus goes to, we see a little different attribute or character of Jesus and who he is. He treats everybody different. There's another house Jesus went to, and this little girl was laying there. And they said that she had died, and Jesus looked at him and he said, She's among the living. She just sleeps. And the Bible says that he reaches down, takes her by the hand. Man, I love it when Jesus will reach down and take you by the hand.
Amen.
You know, he reached down and took Peter by the hand and pulled him up out of the water when he sank. It's great when Jesus will just take you by the hand and just lead you, won't it? And the Bible says that he reached down, took her by the hand, and he lifted her up. She stood and walked out. Like, oh, she's just sleeping. She wasn't dead. Yes. I'm telling y'all, listen, if you'll let Jesus in the house, something's bound to happen.
Amen.
Okay? Something's bound to happen. And we're going to talk about some of these things. Some of these things are really great, some pleasant, some exciting, but there might be a couple of things that might, oh, really? You know, not the flesh. We don't like that. Sometimes, you ever have anything the flesh doesn't like? You know, like black walnuts? Black walnut ice cream? I don't know, we had to grow up with black walnut. My grandparents and my mom, everybody in my family loved black walnut ice cream except me. It was me. And you either got it or you went without. I went without. Well, anyway, so all of that. So here's Jesus, and he enters and he passed through Jericho. Now the Bible begins to tell us that inside this town was a man. And now this man that we know by children's stories, and we know that through children's stories, we know that understanding any type of Sunday school, maybe even an adult class, we learned about a man named Zacchaeus. Now Zacchaeus, that we all know, if we were to say, describe Zacchaeus for me, somebody would say, he's a little guy. They would, because that's what the Bible says. He was short of stature, right? So that just says stature. Well, what is stature, preacher? Stature is your height. And so if you're short of stature, you don't have much stature. I'm trying to keep it simple, all right? How many of you know what the definition of all is? All.
All means all.
All means all, I promise you, okay? It really does. It just means all. I mean, it's just like you teaching your kid what no means. No. No means no. There's no gray area in the word no, right?
Yes.
Oh, careful now. Because how many of us are tempted to gray area no when God says no? See, we'll say no to one of us and mean no, but when God says no to one of his kids, by the way, that's us if you're saved, we kind of look at it like, well, maybe he said maybe. He didn't really say no, preacher. He didn't say no. No, I know what he said, no, but his no means maybe. All right? You know, if your kids told you that, they wouldn't be able to sit down for a while. Well, okay, this is 2021. Back in my day, you didn't sit down for a long while. All right. Zacchaeus. So Zacchaeus is there, and I know it was Zacchaeus because the Bible said there was a man named Zacchaeus. All right. Who was chief among the publicans. He had position. He had a place. He had power. He was a ruler of sorts. He was a leader of his own group. He was a chief who was over all. And the Bible says this, he was rich. I want to help you out here with this little publican guy. This little publican guy here, he was the one in charge of taxation. He was in charge of taxation. So that means that he set the prices for your taxes. That was what he did. And then he would go around to every table that worked for him, and he would charge them taxes too. So they had to make sure they covered their amount so they could pay him, but yet have enough left over for them. Does that make sense? So you work for me, but you owe me this much. You got to make sure you collect more than that from them, so that you're okay, and I'm happy with you, and we don't have to go meet somewhere, right? That's what he did. So that's how he was rich, and he became rich. And nobody likes the tax guy. Nobody. They despised him. They made him lower than the worst of the worst people. He was the chiefest of sinners in their eyes. There was nothing he could ever do to make it right. And by the way, that's true. In the flesh, there's nothing you and I can ever do to make it right with Jesus. We have to go to him in the spirit. Lord, forgive me. I can't work my way to salvation. I can't work my way to heaven. I can't build a tower like Nimrod tried to do. Just can't do it. Not going to happen. All right? So I can't work my way there. I can get really close in my own eyes. Right? That means obeying the law. But I'm going to fall short if I don't have Jesus. Y'all sang a song, Trust and Obey. Y'all like that one?
Yes.
You know why it says trust and obey? Because that's by faith. If it said obey and trust, that would be a work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so even your songs are right. Mm-hmm. Trust first, obey second.
Yep.
Okay, not obey first. Many of us try to obey first. We try to do the right thing first before we put our faith and trust in Jesus. We try to build it up on works and elevate it up on pedestals. And we say, look, preacher, look what I did. Look over here. Look at everything that I've done. He said, yes, all of that's great. But where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? You see, because all of that's nothing without Jesus involved or Jesus in it. I hope you know Jesus. I hope you don't just say it for the preacher being here or for anything else, for good sounding ears. I don't want that. But Zacchaeus was rich. No, the Bible says that Zacchaeus sought. It says here that he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Now, the part of that verse says to see who he was for who he was. So that means he had heard of Jesus. And so I wonder, not Zacchaeus speaking here, I wonder if that's the same Jesus they're talking about that I've heard about. You know, the miracle worker, the one that causes the lame to walk and the blind to see, the deaf to hear, all of that. I wonder if that's the same Jesus that you could just reach out and touch his garment and be healed. If that's the same Jesus that you could just look at eye to eye and all of a sudden everything was good. But wouldn't it be great to be back in Jesus' day? They didn't have toilet paper back then. If you can't take a roll with you, I wouldn't go back. I'm just telling y'all. Some people tell me all the time, preacher, wouldn't it be great to go back in the Western days, live in the Wild West? No. No. You're missing something. Y'all laugh and think it's funny, but wait till you have to go without. I'm telling y'all. All right. So Zacchaeus here, he's doing this and he's going along here and he says, now listen, he heard of Jesus and he needed to see him for who he was. All right. Who was Jesus? Jesus was God's son. He was the son of man and the son of God all into one. And he was the miracle worker. Everybody had a title for Jesus. Even Jesus asked Peter, who do men say that I am? And they said, you are John the Baptist and you are Isaiah and you're one of the prophets of old. That's what they did. That's what people were saying. Jesus was everybody but who he was to them. You see, they didn't recognize him as the Son of God. They were giving him other titles, men titles, flesh titles, people who have already died and gone on, but not Jesus. And we're not putting our faith in Moses. All right? You're not putting your faith in Elijah. Right, you're not putting your faith in men who can be gathered up and claimed. No, listen, my friend, we're putting our faith in Jesus who rose again and his life eternal. Oh, it's an exciting thing. And so Zacchaeus wanted to see this man named Jesus. And the Bible says that now you can see it for yourself. It says that he sought. He had to work for it. Means he had to go forward to see Jesus. Oh, I'm excited. I get to go to church on Sundays. I get to go to church on Sundays. And why? Because I get to see Jesus. Well, what do you mean you see Jesus? Is he in your church? Well, I hope he's in your church too.
Yes. Amen.
Your preacher better be preaching Jesus. You better be singing Jesus. You better be worshiping Jesus. You better just be Jesus all the time in church. Yes. You come to church and there's no Jesus, I find another church.
Amen.
You know what I mean, preacher? Yeah. I'm just telling you, it's all about Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus died for the church. The church better be about Jesus. He died for you too. You better be about Jesus. Zacchaeus wanted to be about Jesus, but he had to see him for himself.
Yes.
You know, you got some neighbors that need to see Jesus.
Amen.
You got some family members that need to see Jesus. And maybe they've heard of Jesus, but they need to see him for himself. Hey, next week's a great day. Next week's father, but they're not my father. I don't care. They have a father. They were born, they had a father. They need to see Jesus. And so let's do that. Let's get them to see Jesus. How are they going to see Jesus? Oh, we're going to get to that here in just a second. Oh, it's getting excited. I hope y'all getting excited too. Listen, here we go. So he sought to see him. That means, listen, in order to seek or to sought, as the Bible says, that means you, me, us, have to make, devise, scheme, think, away. It's up to us. It's not up to my neighbor to go see Jesus for me and then come back and tell me about him. My neighbor can't get saved for me. My neighbor can't get to heaven for me. There's nothing my neighbor can do for me to get to heaven. You know what he can do? He can invite me to church. That's what he can do to get me. All right, that's what you can do. It's the same principle. So, but here we are with Zacchaeus. The Bible says that he sought, means he had to work to find a way to see Jesus. Oh, this is exciting. It really is. This isn't the Zacchaeus story y'all hear when you're kids. You ever notice that? It really isn't. How many of y'all know the story of Jonah?
Yes.
Yeah. How many of y'all know the adult version of Jonah? It's the same as the kid version. You just hear it differently because you're adults. It didn't change. Okay? Yeah. No, seriously, it didn't change. What we think as kids are one thing, what we think of it as adults are another, but the Bible stayed the same.
Yes, it is.
All right? It's just how we make it applicable to us, how we approach it. I love approaching the Bible children's way. Going to get to heaven, can't wait. Going to see Jesus, can't wait. Anybody know that song?
Nope.
Oh, yeah. It's a great song. Glory, I'm saved, and one day I'm going to get there. Those of you shorter than me are going to get there after me. If the rapture hit right now, he's first. Y'all with me? The tall ones see it first. I'm just telling you, some of y'all better get on a pogo stick or something. Bible says that in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, you can look it up, but a merry heart doeth good like a medicine.
Yes.
It does. You cannot accomplish anything for God inside of worry. You can't. When you worry, nothing gets done. Not at all. And so let's try not to do that. Let's try not to worry so much, and let's see what we can accomplish for the Lord this week. Zacchaeus. So Zacchaeus gets to where Jesus is coming. How does he know where Jesus is coming? Because it's like your parade that you have every year. People are lined up on the streets, and they've made a path for Jesus to go down. As a matter of fact, they're kind of directing him. You know, nowadays in 2021, we get a map. This is the way the map thing. Okay. We know where the parade's going, right? Because we get a map of it. They didn't have that back then. Jesus said he went through Jericho. So they lined the streets. And Zacchaeus found a spot, the Bible says. And I know that he found a spot because the Bible says, for he was to pass that way. I mean, that's what it says. For he, Jesus, was to pass, means that's the direction, that way. Oh, here he comes. Bible says he found a sycamore tree. Man, these big trees, they don't ever die, do they? I mean, I don't think they die. So he found a way and he climbed this tree. Oh, by the way, can I tell you that many, 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 many decades ago, that God planted a sycamore tree that hundreds of years later Zacchaeus was going to have to use to see his son Jesus. Y'all know Jericho was destroyed one time? They left the tree right in the middle of town for some reason. You wonder if that's the same tree for Zacchaeus? God just preserved it. I'm just telling you, listen, God had put things in your life years ago for you to see Jesus. He's already planted it. It's already been there. And you're going to come up on something that God has already put into place. And it may have been there for 20 years, and you may never have recognized it until that day. And it's that day that you needed it. Oh, I'm telling you, folks, listen, God does a lot of things we don't think about. He has a lot of blessings we don't think about. And we need to just kind of slow down in life sometimes and just look at everything God has put around us to use for us. I'm telling you, folks, listen, God's been good to us more than we think he has. You might have some terrible things happen. Last week, I buried a man. All right, we have a widow lady in our church now. I buried a man. Last Friday, I buried a missionary friend of mine. I got to speak at his funeral. I got to open the funeral in prayer, got to read some scripture, and then I got to preach the gravesite for him. Thursday, I got to bury another guy. But you can still find Jesus. You can still find Jesus. Preacher, are you sad? Yeah, the physical's not here anymore. But woohoo, they're in heaven, folks. All right? You ought to get excited about it. If you don't get excited about heaven, we're just going to have a talk after church and look in the Bible and show you where you get excited about heaven. All right? Because heaven's the most wonderful place you ever have been. It ain't Topeka. It ain't Centropolis. Okay. Hey. We don't have a Dollar General. We don't have a Casey's. We don't have one single gas station pump. We got a little red can. I didn't like that one. Someone didn't nail that one down. Whose job was that? Anyway, we don't have anything. But we do have a soda pop machine outside the mechanic shop. So after hours, you thirsty, just go put your 50 cents in, get you a can of Dr. Pepper, whatever it is you drink, go home. See, look at that. And he's busy all the time at night. Cars are always pulling in there, getting a can of pop on the way home. Man, he thought of something. Where was I? Why didn't I think of something like that? Anyway, so we don't have anything like that in town. But here's Zacchaeus. So he finds this tree that God had made for him. And he climbed this tree and he sat out there and he's just sitting there. He's like, okay. Now y'all have to catch this. You have to catch this, all right? He was excited. How do I know? Because he sought to see Jesus for who he was. He wanted to see if he was the man that he had always heard about. What do you know? Here comes Jesus. You can follow along in your Bible. I'm just going to kind of read through it real quick here with you. But he says this, Jesus is following in there and he comes up. And the Bible says that Jesus looked up to where he was. You see, can I just say this? Y'all can't hide from Jesus.
Nope.
You can go climb a tree somewhere. Jesus will see you. You can go hide in the laundry room if you want to. Jesus will see you. It don't matter where you go in life. You can go in a baseball stadium and be in a million people sitting in the stand. Jesus will look right at you. He'll pierce your soul with one look, and all of a sudden you'll feel one, joy, two, shame. You'll be like Peter when the cock crew. And Jesus looked at him eye to eye, and Peter sunk. Or you'll be like Zacchaeus, and Jesus looks at you eye to eye. Oh, he sees me! He knows who I am. He called him by name.
Yes.
What the Bible says, Zacchaeus called him by name. Now, how do you know Zacchaeus' name? Zacchaeus had never met him before. Nobody likes Zacchaeus. He's the rich publican who takes all your money. Nobody's going to go tell Jesus about Zacchaeus as a friend. Nobody invited Jesus or Zacchaeus to the parade. Did you notice that in this? Nobody invited Zacchaeus to see Jesus. Isn't that sad? That all these people who pretend to go to church, to go to the temple, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the other Gentiles that have to go pay all these things, not one person invited Zacchaeus to go to see Jesus. Not one person invited him to go see Jesus. That's one of the saddest things I find in this whole story here. He had to find a way himself to see if it was really true. I love it when a visitor walks in the door. Brother Rex, my deacon, did you invite them? No. Hey, Brother John, did you invite them? No. Oh, cool. They sought to find a way to church. You see what I'm saying? It's Bible. It's right here. It's what we're doing, folks. Listen, so here's Zacchaeus. He's up there, and the Bible says that Jesus saw him, looked at him, called him by name, make haste for this day, today, I'm going to your house. Yes. Some of y'all better run home and clean house because Jesus is about to show up. Some of y'all laughing because you know it's true. I'm saying, now listen, if you knew Jesus was going to come over at 2 p.m. on Thursday, y'all would either torch the house down and rebuild. You'd hire a moving company. Why? That's just because we have stuff, isn't it? We have stuff. Comes into our house. We have a path. Our stuff design, it makes us go one way or the other. We have so much stuff, we have a path. Can't stop stuff. I'm like that bad magpie that collects everything it can and just leaves it there. One day I'll get rid of everything. It's my wife's inheritance from me. So anyway. Most of it's Hot Wheels. I'll just say that. Okay. I still collect Hot Wheels. Anyway, so here he is in Zacchaeus. And so, man. Of all the people in Jericho that lined the street that Jesus was coming through, his disciples were with him, of everybody that was there, he picked Zacchaeus to go see. What was so special about Zacchaeus? Somebody quickly tell me. He needed him. He needed him. Verse 10 says, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He wasn't after the Pharisees. They already thought they were right. He wasn't after the Sadducees. They knew everything. He didn't want those people. He didn't come to get the self-righteous. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And by the way, friend, if you're saved today, you had to be lost at one time. Amen. You had to be lost. And you had to be in need of a Savior. All right, and by the way, that Savior, and I just found this out today, but that Savior ain't dressed in red and looking like a pope. He ain't a cardinal. He ain't a priest. He ain't some flag on a pole in some of these places. He ain't a coloring book. I've been to enough BBSs to see some people think it's a coloring book. I'm telling you folks, listen, it's Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You want to get to heaven, you got to put it all away and put your faith only in Jesus. I hope you did that, because I'd hate to get to heaven and find out that you left a little bit out. You were hanging on to just a little bit of childhood. You were hanging on just a little bit of a relative. You were hanging on just a little bit of a work. To just some goodness that you thought might make it through the gates. By the way, nothing gets through the gates if Jesus ain't on it. Zacchaeus. Oh, now I want to tell you something about in the house. And he made haste, the Bible says, and he came down. And I want you to understand here, verse number 6, and received him. The him here is Jesus. Now, I'm trying to do this by the verse so we understand expository what the verses mean and how we get to the point. The King James is not a hard Bible to understand. I just want you to understand that. It's not a version of the Bible. It is the Bible.
Amen.
All right? I mean, I'm just telling y'all it's the King James. I wouldn't be up here. He wouldn't have me if I didn't believe that this was the Word of God for the English-speaking people that I have in my hands right now.
Amen.
All right? And so when it says that it's, I want you to catch this last word here in verse number 6, joyfully.
Yes.
Joyfully. Joyfully. He received him joyfully. There was a man that was hated by the whole community. There was a man that was called probably every name you and I don't even know yet. I'm sure they had names back then. But anyway, I'm just saying, here was a man that was despised. I mean, if he was sitting down at dinner, everybody avoided him. If he'd just take a stroll, they would leave. They didn't want anything to do with this man. And you know what? He couldn't care. He didn't matter to him. He had everything he needed. He didn't care. Until one day he found that he needed Jesus. He found out that everything that he had and every position that he had and the rising of the ranks to get to the top to be the chief of the publicans did not satisfy an eternal destination. Did not satisfy. You see, he was bound to a place called hell. A place that the Bible describes just a little bit before here, of a rich man who died and went to hell, looked up to Lazarus in Abraham's bosom and said, you know what, why can't I just get a little drop? Put it on your fingertip. That's all I need. Just put it on your fingertip. Oh, by the way, can I just tell you, anybody ever been parched and dry mouth?
Yes.
You know what that feels like?
Yes.
If you take a drop of water on your finger, have you ever tried that? Try it one time. And then just touch your lips. That's all he asked for. He goes, if it would just touch my lips. You don't even know you did it. So y'all try that one day. Next time you get all dry and parched, just try one little, and then just do that. It does absolutely nothing. But that's what he wanted. So you see, he knew it wouldn't do him any good. It wouldn't. Because he was, the Bible says that in Luke chapter, I think it's chapter 16, he says that he was tormented by the fire, by the flame. There's no Jesus to be found in hell. There's no comfort. There's no joy. Well, I'm just going to go to hell with the rest of my friends and we're just going to have a heyday and a party. No, you won't. You know what you're going to have? You're going to have people chewing on you. It's what it says, the gnashing of teeth. How do they know they're gnashing of teeth? Because you're screaming in pain because it's your arm. And the next thing you know, you'd be chewing on somebody else. Why? Why would you do that? Because you're trying to get rid of the pain that you're in. Oh, and by the way, you can't die either. It goes on and on and on. Well, is there anything worse than that? Yes. Bible says that this place called hell will be picked up and will be thrown into the lake of fire. Oh, there's a second one. Y'all, not me, praise the Lord. I'm headed to heaven. Going to get to heaven, can't wait. Oh, yes, going to see Jesus, can't wait. Why? Because I'm saved by the blood. Well, how did Zacchaeus get saved? Bible says all his house should be saved. Well, the same way the thief on the cross got saved. The same way Lazarus did. The same way the young lady did that he picked up. The same way that the centurion who had so great faith, Jesus never saw any of it before. The same way all his disciples did. They believed and they put their faith and trust in Jesus. That's what you need to do today, folks. You just need to believe. You need to put your faith and trust in Jesus. In Jesus. The Bible says he came to his house. You see what happens when you have Jesus in your house? People notice. The Bible said that all his household got saved. His household wouldn't have got saved if Jesus hadn't come to his house. Jesus would not have come to his house if Zacchaeus not climbed a sycamore tree. If Zacchaeus decided that the crowd was too great that he'll just try to find Jesus another day, Jesus would never have met Zacchaeus. It would never have been. It had to be that day. That day. All right. Well, what does that have to do with today? Okay. It means everything today. It is this day you need to meet with Jesus. Well, preacher, I'm saved. You still can't go a day without Jesus. I do not understand how people can get through a day without Jesus. I don't get it, preacher. I don't understand how people survive out in this world without Jesus for one moment. I don't get it. We got to lean on somebody. I need somebody there with me all the time, and it's my Savior. The Bible says that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, Jesus. You look right here. He says right here, He made haste, came down, received Him joyfully. And then Zacchaeus stood, I'm going to skip verse 7, and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord. Listen, what he's doing here is he's asking God to forgive him, and he's making right. That's what he's doing. Lord, forgive me. The Bible says that He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Isn't that a good thing? This is for me. All you righteous people out there, I'm the only sinner in here today, I guess. But I'm thankful that He's faithful to forgive me. I'm thankful that He's faithful to say, you know what, Johnny, you let me down, but I'm going to give you a second chance. Yes. Well, you said you'd give me a second chance yesterday. He goes, yeah, I know, but every new day is a new day. You give me a second chance again today. Oh, my God's full of chances. But I do promise you there'll be one day those chances will stop. And when you keep refusing to get right and you keep refusing, the Bible says the heart hardens and it becomes like Pharaoh's. And that's not a really good place to be. The Bible calls that a reprobate heart and mind, that we can't ever get back to God once it turns to that point. And we don't want to see people get to that point. We don't want loved ones to get there into that reprobate thinking, that reprobate mind. Listen, and it says there, he says, and Zacchaeus stood and he did all of that. And Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house. Man, I love it when Jesus is in the house. I love it when Jesus is in the house. Folks, very quickly, I'm about to wrap up, but I got to get here real quick. You got to help me listen very carefully. In Corinthians, the Bible says that our bodies are a temple. And inside this temple, if you're saved, lives the Holy Spirit of Jesus. Jesus. You invited Jesus in, right? You got saved. Jesus, come into my heart. Some of you prayed that way. Come in, save me. The door is open. Behold, Revelation chapter 3. I stand at the door and knock. Will you let me in? How long do I have to stand out here knocking? Will you let me in? You know, he's knocking on a lot of people that we're praying for. Yes. You got people on your prayer list you're praying for salvation? Yes. Jesus is right there knocking on their door. Every time you pray, he's knocking on that door. Yes. Let me in. Prayer, 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 prayer. Well, preacher, I never heard it like that before. Now you have. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Every time you pray for that person to get saved, someone's knocking on that door. Jesus is knocking on that door. Tell you folks, it's a wonderful thing when Jesus gets in the house. When he gets in the house, he's in the house. The Bible says that we are a written epistle, known and read of all men. They'll read Jesus on you. They'll read you. They saw Zacchaeus changed. He gave back everything that he took wrongfully and started a brand new life in Jesus. I don't think he was a publican anymore. If he was an honest one, and they kicked him out. Yes. I'm pretty sure that's what would have happened. We don't have any honest people working for us. Go. He probably started some law firm. You ever been wronged by a publican? Dial 888, call me, or something like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about, those commercials? You got it. Okay, listen. But I want you to understand that when Jesus is in the house, something's going to happen. You right? Yes. Something's going to happen when Jesus is in the house. Yeah. You're either going to reject him. Hey, get off my porch. I like my life the way it is. Yeah. I don't really believe you can do everything you say. Hey, there's people like that. We're reading them in the Bible. There's people like that today. I just don't believe that Jesus is who he is. I mean, we have Muhammad. We have Buddha. We have Gandhi. Okay. But which one of them have come back from the dead? No. They raised themselves. God is the only one that has the power to raise himself and victorious over death and the grave. I mean, he defeated the devil on the Mount of Temptation. What did the devil think he was going to get when Jesus went in the grave? More of it. I'm just saying, who are you going to put your faith and trust in? The one who knows how to defeat the devil? Or the one who's born of the devil? James teaches us, James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Just like the song we sang, trust and obey, there's an order. Submit yourself therefore to God, Zacchaeus, resist the devil, the naysayers, verse 7, and they'll flee from you. What's verse 7? Oh, easy. Let's look at it. And when they saw it, who are they? Well, this is the publicans. This is the place. These are the Pharisees and the everybody that didn't like him. They all murmured and saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Did you know you have a testimony?
Yes.
They said Zacchaeus was a sinner.
Yes.
A sinner. A sinner. He was a sinner.
Yeah.
What they couldn't understand was so was they.
Yeah.
It's easy to call someone else a sinner when we're looking pretty good ourselves, isn't it? Oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
I am. You're going to have people out there that are going to remember who you were in a former lifetime as a sinner. They're going to say, oh, no. I knew you when you were a teenager. You can't be who you say you are today. Not true. I have people tell me that. John, you're a preacher? No. I remember that day that we came and visited you. You were sitting in the back seat of a police car. Yeah, I remember that day too. What do you want to talk about? Okay. Anybody else ever have a rough day?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just telling you. Listen, but I'm sure glad that Jesus happened to look down in a miry pit one day.
Yes.
Saw me stuck. And crying out for a Savior,
yes.
He reached down and he picked me up and he set my feet on a ground to stay. I'm telling y'all, folks, listen, he's been my anchor ever since. And there's a testimony out there. There's a testimony of people who saw me before.
Yes.
And there's a greater testimony of people who know me today.
Yes.
You have to believe and act what you believe in order to prove to people. Oh, you go to church on Sunday? Yeah. You like church? Well, you know, it has its moments. Well, like what kind of moments? Well, it's fine until the preacher gets there. It's fine when the preacher's done. Is that your testimony when somebody talks to you about church? Well, you know, they have rules. Oh, by the way, can I just tell you something real quick on that? And I'll close. I promise. I'm about done. I don't know why every preacher says that, but not really. Anyway. I'm going to shock some of y'all. There's a lot of people who say that we Baptists, independent, fundamental Baptists, we have a lot of rules. And we have a lot of barriers. We have a lot of walls, fences, you know. And can I just say that while the perception of that might be true, can I just tell you what is true about that? Is it's not about rules and barriers and walls. It's about a way of life. And by the way, the way of life is John 14, 6. I already quoted it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So it's about Jesus. Well, why don't you do this like everybody else? Because Jesus. Oh, it's not your church? No, it's what I believe. But your church believes it too. Yeah, I know, but the church taught me that I need to believe this. I need to have my own walk with Jesus. I need to have my own personal walk with Jesus. I'm accountable for my actions, and I'm accountable for how you see me. And if you see me doing wrong, you'll never see Jesus. But when you see me doing right, you're bound to see Jesus. Zacchaeus quit doing wrong, started doing right. People saw Jesus. His house got saved. You want your house to get saved? You want your house? Well, by the way, I have a book at home. It's called Jesus Wants to Save the Christian. What's that mean? Well, that means we have a lot of... Yeah, look in your pews. See people not here? That's who Jesus wants to bring back.
Yes.
It's called restoration. It's called second chances. It's called the door that is open for people to come in and find a place where they can rest in the arms of Jesus. They can hear some words of encouragement. Maybe some words that'll step on your toes. Get you right. Bruise it a little bit. It's okay. It's the word of God. It's a hammer. It's going to come down sometimes, and it's going to chisel. When you get Jesus inside you, he's going to say, hey, that music, that music has some words in there that we don't like. Gone. Oh, that book. Oh, no. You better not read chapter 12. That book. Oh, no. Don't you go there. You throw that book away. Uh-huh. Oh. Hmm. Yeah. See what I'm saying? There's going to be some things. Oh, well, I'm home alone. Nobody knows. Jesus knows. He knows your name. He knows where you're sitting. He knows what you're doing. Jesus knows. You better not go there. You better not look at that. You better not read that. You better not see that. And you better not listen to that. Oh, you better not do that. What else am I missing? Just don't do it. Integrity. Integrity. We're missing men and women of Jesus of integrity today.
Yes.
Integrity. And we have to build it back. And it may start right here at North Rock.
Yes.
This may be the place it starts. And building integrity for Jesus back. Do you really believe it?
Yes.
Are you willing to sacrifice for it? Because you may have to give up some things. Friends. Articles. Things. In order to serve the Lord of your life. Father, we thank you again for today. And Lord, as we get ready for this invitation, God, I'm praying that there was a help today. That even a story that we look simply as a child story, but yet it may have application for adults and may even go deeper than that. I know I didn't touch everything the story had to offer. But Father, I pray that somewhere down in this story it touched someone. It touched someone to realize what it cost Zacchaeus to find your son Jesus. And what it's going to cost us to run back to Jesus, to find Jesus, and to make him active again in our lives, to open up our heart's doors and say, Jesus, just return. I know I'm saved and I know I'm on my way to heaven, but God, I'm just praying for a revival, a renewal, a fresh start. Lord, give me a chance. I want to do right. I want to see my household saved. I want to see all my friends and my family members. I want to see them in heaven one day. Lord, help me. Help me to be the light and the lighthouse and the witness that I need to be. Lord, if I need to remove some things from my life, then let it be tonight. Let it be gone so that I can start Monday fresh, excited, and seeking you. Man, Lord, I need to find my sycamore tree this week. I need to find my sycamore tree. God, I pray for your help now. Would you just bless the offering? If there's one here, two, three, I don't know. You know the numbers. That do not know Jesus as their Savior. Lord, Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, if there's nobody here, if there's anybody here that has never cried out of Romans 10:13, Lord, would it be tonight? Lord, just have them come, just by faith. Just by faith, step out and trust you. Just trust you. And Lord, we pray for those that are saved tonight. Lord, where are we in our walk with you? Where's our Bible reading? Where's our prayer time? Lord, could we be better at it? And I pray for your help. Lord, let